Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The biggest convention of its kind ever in the UK, Wrestling MediaCon 2018, is heading to Manchester on the 8th and 9th of September. Wrestling MediaCon 2018 will feature live wrestling shows from Revolution Pro and Impact Wrestling, meet and greet with all the talent, panel discussions from the likes of Inside the Ropes, and workshops on how to get into the world of professional wrestling from former WWE writers and bookers. There will also be guest matches from Defiant, NGW, and an NWA World's title defense by Nick Aldis, taped for £10 of gold. Other names announced for Wrestling MediaCon 2018 include The Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer, Colt Cabana, Sean Waltman, Cultaholic, Botchamania, myself and Ollie from The Wrestle Ramble, and many more to be announced. Wrestling MediaCon comes to the Bowlers Exhibition Center in Manchester, England on the 8th and 9th of September. Tickets are available now from WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, I'm joined by Luke Owen, and today is a bonus episode for Backlash Predictions. So we're going to go right into that, and then afterwards we'll finally hear Luke's amazing, really well-researched anecdote that he promised us yesterday. He's told me it's going to knock you off your seats, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be the best anecdote you've ever heard. See you in a bit. An event I don't know if you've been made aware of. It's the best of both brands.
Oh, it's the best of both brands.
It's the best of both brands.
And it started tonight. That song gets stuck in my
what
head
a song.
Like no one's business.
What a song. Not in Saudi Arabia. They don't like that song.
They weren't keen on it.
They weren't keen on the video accompanying
they
it.
They did not appreciate the genius of that promo. Mm. The single greatest promo to hype dual branded pay-per-views that has ever been produced.
I mean, it's a slim pool to pick from, but even if it was more diverse, this would still be far
head and shoulders
above.
Does those other promos have Jeff Hardy going, "We want it all!" And not even saying it, mouthing along to those lines.
Yep, and does it have Carmella feigning dehydration? Oh. That was hilarious.
Oh, so good.
She just carried on afterwards. Nia Jax's moves.
Yeah.
Which is like a bit of that, isn't
and,
it?
And we can do this quite easily because we've got the headphones on. This is going to be phenomenal. Like, stuff like that.
Oh, anyway.
The Usos fighting over them. Oh, it's just every shot in there is so good.
Luke, this is where we lose viewers. Because we bullet, here's the prediction show. We're going to go through our predictions. And people are like, oh, I can't wait for this succinct rundown of who Luke and Ollie think are going to win matches this weekend. And we just start talking about the single greatest promo to hype dual-branded pay-per-views ever.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just riffing, man. Just sometimes you got to riff.
Maybe we should start every show with just a little tribute to that brilliant song. We haven't spoken about it for about a week and a half.
I know.
And it's just all that love has come rushing back to me.
Rushing back, that's what she said. But anyway, should we go through this card?
Okay.
It's an 8-match card, so we're recording this on a Wednesday. There might be a match announced for the pre-show, but I don't even know if there is a pre-show. But there could be.
Oh, I hope there isn't a pre-show. I'm sick of pre-shows.
Well, if I remember correctly, didn't they say the new format of pay-per-views moving forward, now that they are these dual brand, the best of both brands, is that pay-per-views are now 4 hours long, and then like the big shows like Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series, those are 5 hour shows with the like the hour long kickoff. So is it just that these are just 4 hour shows now?
I don't know.
Or is it going to be a 3 hour show?
The Soul brand pay-per-views ran for about 3 hours. That was kind of your max level there. Sometimes, you know, I think Hell in a Cell went 2 hours 40 minutes. Mm. So sometimes they go less. And they had between 7 and 8 matches. So I'm hopeful that this will be a 3 hour thing. I just feel like all the pay-per-views have been astoundingly long recently. And I'm looking forward to it coming out of the craziness of WrestleMania season, and we can get back to 3 hour shows.
Well, let's see. I mean, I'm excited because this show is T to B, top to bottom, singles matches and one tag match. Not only that, there's no gimmicks on this show with the exception of one match.
Yes. For after WrestleMania and Fastlane and Elimination Chamber, it was 6-mans, 4-mans, triple threats. Any others?
Elimination Chamber matches.
It's
just nice to just have a card.
Royal Rumble? There were 50 people in the last one.
We have had 2 Royal Rumble matches this year already.
80 people
have been thrown over the top rope. Well, 78 have been thrown over the top rope. But let's start at the bottom of the card. This was announced on Monday night. A match I didn't even know had been announced, and I thought Ollie Davis was taking the piss when he told me it was actually on the card. It's Braun the Strowman and Bobby Lashley taking on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, which, if those taking notes at home, was on Raw 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I mean, well, that's the intrigue, right? Because Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman have now beaten Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn 2 weeks ago. On this week's 6-man tag, Braun Strowman pinned Kevin Owens. This is the time that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn get their own back. What a build! What a tremendous way to make you excited about the heels finally overcoming the baby faces.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this match? Who's coming out on top, rather?
I think it's... as much as I love Owens and Zayn, and as much as they desperately need a win moving to another brand, it's got to be Strowman. The business is not even Bobby Lashley. Braun Strowman needs to win this match. And I understand the arguments for everyone else and that they need their own kind of momentum. But Braun Strowman is money. He's the biggest star in the company really right now. He's the one that needs to be protected the most because he's the one down the line who's going to have the most return on investment. At the moment, it looks like that way. So I'm going to quite confidently say Strowman and Lashley.
I am also saying the same thing. I just don't see Owens and Zayn pulling out a win here.
Yeah.
It's not as much as they, as you said, they could do with a win because they haven't done anything since coming to Raw or SmackDown other than be beaten up by either Braun Strowman or Bobby Lashley, and in some cases at the same time. But yeah, I think it's more likely that Braun and Bobby are winning here.
And hopefully Lashley gets to do something after this, like a proper feud rather than just a tag team partner. Next up, we've got Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass in a grudge singles match.
Grudge-ish singles match,
grudge-ish.
Yeah.
Well, I think this has turned into quite a nice little blood feud. Not blood. It's turned into a feud.
It has turned into a feud.
Which is what you would hope for in a wrestling match.
I'm intrigued by this. It's going to be Cass's first match back since injury, and it's going to be Daniel Bryan's first singles match on pay-per-view since his return from injury. So this is why we keep saying that it's probably not the best use of your Daniel Bryan. However, I think this might actually end up being pretty good. And I am going with a Big Cass win.
Whoa, really?
Well, I think that they are delaying the Bryan Miz feud until SummerSlam.
Okay.
Because that seems like a bigger match to have than just have it at Money in the Bank. So maybe you get the Big Cass win here, and so you can have Bryan overcome him at a later date before moving on to the Miz feud.
Oh, God, that sounds unappealing. So you wouldn't even have... would you book it dirty so Miz could help Cass win?
Or like if Cass just cheats on his own, like he doesn't need Miz to have him win. He could just win, you know, a hook of the tights or something like that. That you could just tell the story that Daniel Bryan is out wrestling him, he's out maneuvering him, and because the whole story has been that Big Cass is tall and that's his thing, and Daniel Bryan isn't good because he is short. So you tell this sort of David and Goliath story, but Cass still needs to cheat to beat Daniel Bryan, and then he can go like, "Told you I was better than him."
God, Big Cass should be wrestling Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy would lose nothing if Big Cass beat him, like titles aside and everything. But why would you book Daniel Bryan and Big Cass? Like two people. Yeah. Big Cass needs a win. He's just come back. He's got a new character. This is good for him. Daniel Bryan, you don't want to beat him. You don't want to derail this momentum now. He's just come back after 3 years out. People want to see him win.
But my argument is that you will see him win. It's just, if this is the first chapter of a feud, because it doesn't feel like this is just like, you know, a short term thing. I think they're going to elongate this just to delay the Miz feud even further.
So I, just to be clear, this is what you think WWE's mindset is, not what you want.
Yes. Yeah,
I think.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't want Daniel Bryan to lose. I think that would be an idiotic thing to do. But I'm hopeful that Daniel Bryan does win. But I do think that this is a feud that is going to continue. So therefore, I'm going for a big Cass win here.
It's not cut and dry. So you're going Cass.
I'm going Cass.
SmackDown has built faith in me in 3 weeks. It's not the longest track record, but it is one of positivity. I'm gonna say Daniel Bryan. I'm gonna go with my heart.
You going with your heart has actually often led you to better results than I have with potential like logic. Because that's the other thing as well, is that Big Cass losing here, that hurts his character. And it kind of destroys his character that we've only been building for these last couple of weeks. If he just gets beaten in his first attempt, then it just like that. Where does he go from there? But Daniel Bryan will always be over, so it won't overly hurt Daniel Bryan, particularly if Cass cheats to win.
I get you. I do agree. I'm looking at this from a. I'm hoping WWE are looking at this from a money-making perspective. Especially they've got Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown. Those are your two top heels.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need a big Cass in there? Or do you make this other baby face along with AJ as Daniel Bryan?
But again, as I come back to the argument, well, not an argument, that discussion we had the other week. Is this big Cass going into the main event? Or is it Daniel Bryan going down into the mid-card? Okay, the Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This episode of Wrestle Ramble is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can get access to our Patreon-exclusive podcast, Wrestle Ramble Extra, where Ollie and I review classic pay-per-views from wrestling's past. Previous episodes include Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, WrestleMania 25, and more. The next episode continues the WrestleMania theme with arguably the best Mania ever, WrestleMania X7, featuring the epic main event of The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. It also has the Triple H versus Undertaker match you're supposed to forget happened, and the Gimmick Battle Royal! Your backing will get you access to all previous episodes too. Head on over to patreon.com/wrestletalk for more information. That's patreon.com/wrestletalk.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe.
I went first. You're up.
This is an interesting one. Because likewise, Samoa Joe's been really, really good. So usually in a feud, if the heel keeps calling out the babyface for unfulfilling their promises, the way you would book that logically is for the babyface to then make good on a promise and defeat the heel and show the heel as really the one who can't fulfill promises. So it's a Roman Reigns win for me, I'm afraid. But how great would it be if Joe won? So I'm going with my head rather than my heart.
So you're going for a Roman Reigns win here. So I like you, think this is a very interesting one in that you are right. The storyline has been that the heel is saying that the babyface is wrong. So in storyline logic, the babyface should overcome this heel and therefore win. However, Samoa Joe has just set himself up as the next number one, the next contender to the WWE Championship. So you don't want him losing on pay-per-view. This is Joe's first pay-per-view match back since his injury.
Yeah, of course.
It's his
first
pay-per-view match of 2018.
We're not counting Grrr as a pay-per-view match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, but okay, his first singles match. So you don't really want Joe winning either. So I actually wonder whether you go to a... almost like a note. Like, I wonder if referee Chad Patton is going to be the referee again and he makes another blunderous call and Roman Reigns then has that, so he can go into Raw again and be like, look, that's another bad call here. And you could turn that into the storyline that Roman is getting screwed out of these wins. So I'm actually going to go the opposite of you. I don't know if I'm going to go for a Samoa Joe win. Or do I go for like a DQ or a double DQ?
DQ could work. This is one of two interbrand matches.
Yeah.
So this is Raw versus SmackDown.
Yeah, can I go for... I'm going to go for Roman Reigns wins... no, I'm going for... Oh, it's tense. It's not really that tense. I'm going for a double DQ.
Double DQ, that is risky.
It is risky. It is risky.
That is disky.
It is disky.
Carmella versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I went first last time.
Carmella retains.
Yeah, I think Carmella retains too. Too early to take it off her. And
the act is too good at the moment.
Yeah, and she should win by cheating. And
oh,
then
100%.
Then she can carry on this thing like, I've done it all by myself. I mean, I guess the way you would further that is Iconics interference.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually just go straight for a Carmella. Iconic interference certainly works.
But
you don't want to do too many, like, cause I've just said that Big Cass could win by cheating. You don't want to do too many heels winning by cheating. So I think that just devalues the, you know, if you do it more than once, it really does devalue the finish.
Yeah. You also don't want the Iconics to just become Carmella's lackeys.
Exactly.
Although, you know, watching WrestleMania X7, Kurt Angle and Edge and Christian, that was a good little trio they had.
Mm-hmm.
Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss singles match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. I think Nia Jax retains here.
As do I.
Yes, because you can't have Alexa Bliss doing these fake bullying stories. Bliss's run with the title is... like, that's finished now. Should be for a while as well. This is a chance to build up someone else. And after that Nia Jax Ronda Rousey stare down, that's...
Do you want to do it that soon?
No. I mean, you build to it eventually.
Oh, okay.
Because Rousey's got to, I assume, go through Mickie James and then Natalya.
Mm-hmm.
Seems that to be the route for her. Nia Jax can maybe face Ember Moon for a bit. I see Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey as a SummerSlam match with Rousey going over.
Mm-hmm.
And Rousey holds that belt until maybe a champion versus champion, Charlotte versus Rousey
at WrestleMania
next year.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. I was actually about to ask you who you think that Nia Jax's next challenger could be, because that's one of the things I think that Raw hasn't done particularly well in its women's division. It hasn't built up who is going to be next after Alexa, like who's next in line, because of their other heels, it is Mickey. And I don't know if they have any other heels on the SmackDown women's side of things.
Natalya soon. And you can play like babyface Ember coming up against Nia.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be a heel.
But even then, I don't think, like, it certainly isn't Sasha. It certainly isn't Bayley. Sasha Bayley, again, isn't on this card.
I forgot they were contracted to WWE.
Like everyone thought that feud was going to like culminate at WrestleMania, or they were going to have a match at WrestleMania, and they're like, "Oh, well, if it's not happening at WrestleMania, it's going to happen at Backlash." Near our Backlash, it still isn't happening. It's going to be the longest feud ever to ever like lead to a match. No, actually, oh no, they had that Goldust R-Truth one that built for ages as well. I could certainly see Ember Moon. Also, on your thing, I wonder if they're going to do Rousey Natalya at SummerSlam. And then do like Rousey winning the championship at Survivor Series.
Could do that as well, yeah. Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton for the United States title.
It's me to go first, isn't it? I am going for a Jeffrey Hardy retention.
A Jeffrey Hardy retention.
Yes.
Yeah, same here. I mean, there's not much to say about this feud. It's been based on interrupting each other's entrances slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And as they said on this week's Miz TV segment, mutual agreement. That's the big go-home angle, which I personally enjoyed. It's just an interesting stat. So this is, on this week's SmackDown, this was the first tag match Jeff and Randy Orton have ever been in on the same team in their, 40 decades of combined wrestling.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. It doesn't tie into the match at all.
But I'm so glad you brought it up, though.
I'm not, now I've said it, I'm not even 100% sure that was the fact.
Do you know what? Someone will correct you.
Yeah. No, but people just take it as granted, don't they, when you say things, they don't go out and check stuff. Seth Rollins versus The Miz for the other mid-card title. This is the other SmackDown versus Raw interbrand match. It's for the Intercontinental title. Seth and Miz, me first.
Yes, you're
right. It's got to be a Seth retention.
Got to be a Seth retention,
yeah,
right?
The United States title, IC title, wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is very much a Seth Rollins retention here to carry on to his feud with Balor, particularly if Balor does turn heel.
Yeah, maybe Balor runs in here and costs Rollins the match. It's also that. Like
You do love a run in and cost a match.
Run in a mania if I was booking this.
Vince Russo.
Low blows. Ladder matches and brass nuts. That's me. If it was both mid-card titles going to Raw, I could almost see that happening. So the Intercontinental title and the United States title to Raw, because Brock isn't around a lot with the Universal title. It's a 3-hour show, but there's no way they're putting the US and the IC belts on the 2-hour SmackDown. Yeah. You would gut Raw of its one title, one men's singles title that's around.
Yeah.
But I guess they could always create the New York title or
insert
the Madison geographical
Square
location.
Garden Championship.
The Bruno Sammartino Memorial Belt.
Yes, there you go.
And what I think and should be the main event.
Oh, this 100% will be the main event.
Given that Reigns and Joe doesn't have a title attached to it. AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a
no
disqualification match for the WWE title. I am really looking forward to this bout. I know you said you weren't because we saw it at Greatest Royal Rumble, but I thought that was a nice match to set up a match.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And I've actually really enjoyed the build to this match. And I think that this is going to be the match that people might have been expecting at WrestleMania, because I think this is the blow off to their feud. I think this is the end of. I'm going to put I'm going to put money on the line.
You're going to put money?
I said I'm not going to put money on the line. However, I'm going to make another prediction. Our title for the Backlash pay per view when we do the Wrestle Ramble is What Next for Shinsuke Nakamura.
Without the title.
Because I think AJ is retaining.
So
with the booking I gave you the other week, where he goes to do the phenomenal ball arm, and AJ is wearing a metal cup, and that leads to the finish.
It is almost too obvious that they haven't already introduced a cup or talked about it. Maybe Corey Graves made a joke. Yeah, I could see that happening, because when they go completely quiet on something that's very obvious, it is usually because they're going to do a swerve reveal of it later on. I don't know, man. There's a lot of... So all the matches we've listed, none of them we've had as title changes. I have read on a few rumours that there are no title changes expected for the show. But I also think Nakamura is absolute fire right now.
He is a fire emoji right now. But like the other thing as well is that you and I, we convinced ourselves that something big was going to happen at Greatest Royal Rumble. Like we completely worked ourselves into thinking there was going to be title changes at, you know, at the Wazoo.
I certainly did.
Yeah, and I, in the end, I was like, I gave some predictions. Like at the Intercontinental Championship match, I was like, oh, Finn wins, you know, just because we think there might be some title changes because we thought something might actually happen on the show. And I think the Backlash is going to be the same thing. I don't think there's going to be a massive amount of like real, like earth-shattering changes within this show. I think it will be a very good show, though, wrestling-wise across the board. I think it should be a very strong show. But I don't think we're going to see any big title changes. This does mean as well that Shinsuke Nakamura has failed to win the WWE Championship in every single time he's attempted, which I'm almost certain is upwards in the 20s by now, with all those Jinder Mahal matches he had last year. But it's, I think AJ is retaining here, particularly if he's going to be moving into a program with Samoa Joe, which they sort of set up on SmackDown.
Or, yeah, God, it is tough. And how does the no DQ stipulation play into it as well?
Okay, can I do an addendum to my end, to my finish?
Yeah.
Shinsuke goes to do the low blow. AJ does sell it, but then he stands up, he reveals the metal cup. Kick to the dick. He low blows him. He gets the low blow himself and either gets the pin off that or maybe the Styles Clash or the Phenomenal Forearm and gets the win. And that's how you do the, that's how you tie the no DQ element into it.
It's a testament to SmackDown's booking that I really don't know who's going to win, and there are multiple ways it could go, and I would be happy with most of those outcomes.
100%.
So I'm also, you've convinced me, I'm also going to go for AJ Styles. So we only...
I apologise if I'm wrong.
We only differ on Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe and Brian and Big Cass. So it could still end up as a draw.
Could
what
be.
Are the stakes of the predictions? Well, I guess we'll find out.
Oh, this is going to blow your tiny little mind, I'm afraid. Just so we can clarify, I actually haven't said that it was going to be an earth-shattering...
Luke, stop being so humble. Stop being... You told me this is the most incredible thing you've ever heard. You can't wait to share it with the SWAF Nation. Should we help build their anticipation further by me telling them about a double deep-fried pizza in the meantime?
Yes, well, why not?
Because then they can get more excited for what you're going to say.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, I'm 100%.
Because I gave a fact about sleep, listeners, and Luke, you know, said he could go one better with another fact.
And I can definitely go one better, at least in my world, which I think, because I think it is more interesting.
Okay, so I've got a video here, because we were talking about pizza in yesterday's episode.
Did you just Google pizza then?
No, it just came up. It just the universe gave it to me. You see, next to it, associated articles... That is a dress a lady's wearing that looks like a whole pizza when you lay down.
Cool.
That's my kind of woman. Okay, so this is...
Well, now your lady partner knows what she's getting for her birthday.
So first, they bread and deep fry a whole pizza in slices. Then they add another layer of cheese, sauce and pepperoni to those slices and bread and deep fry them again.
Crikey.
And then they estimate each slice... So each slice of this pizza, not the whole pizza, each slice of the pizza is 825 calories. That is the calorific value of a normal entire pizza.
That is quite impressive. I mean, it's certainly not helping the fact that we are kind of a bit hungry at the moment because we haven't had lunch yet. To peel back the curtain a little bit, SWAF Nation and Pod Swafters and everything in between. You heard the podcast yesterday. We have literally only just finished recording that podcast. We went out, edited the video and podcast version, and now we're recording this. So it's actually only about half an hour has passed since we last spoke to you, but it's been a whole day. Whatever. But anyway, so we haven't actually had lunch. But this looks like it is, and I'm quite hungry. This looks incredible, though.
Thank you for that much-needed time disclaimer, Luke.
Well, it's because you were, like, finding what you wanted to find in the video. We don't want to Google things live on air. That's for Patreon backers.
Okay, so just we're going to just watch this video. So this lady has... Good grief, look at the cheese that's spilling out. And she's taken a bite. Oh, the cheese is still in her mouth, and it's... Oh, my God. That looks weighty. Like you I was going to say,
you could certainly put that as a doorstop.
Yeah.
Oh, and this guy's got a T-shirt that is the Diet Coke logo, but it says Diet Joke.
That's hilarious. That's the sort of T-shirt I would have bought as a teenager on holiday in Costa del Sol.
Oh, I see. I was going to say I would have bought as a teenager at Reading Festival.
I used to have a T-shirt with the Adidas logo, but each Adidas leaf was a sort of green leaf, and beneath it said Addicted. I did not even know what cannabis was back then, but I still thought that was the coolest thing ever.
I had one which had the old Burger King logo on it, but it said Beer King.
Oh, lads, banter.
Such banter. Banter T-shirts.
Banslash.
Oh, it was. It was all over banter.
Anecdote time after we've had that brief deep fried pizza.
So basically the other reason why I wanted to give that sort of time lapse clarification is because you asked me to go away and research a fact, and then I haven't listened to a podcast since we recorded the other one, so I've had to just kind of remember something that I've heard on one of the podcasts that I've listened to.
This has been built up well.
On an episode of Talking Simpsons, I learned quite recently, do you know who the original person was who was going to shoot Mr. Burns? In the classic two-parter episode, Who Shot Mr. Burns?
So the reveal was...
spoilers.
Maggie.
It was Maggie Simpson that shot Mr. Burns. But they were the writers of that episode had a bigger plan that they wanted to do with it. Essentially to write a character out of the series.
Wow, so this is quite interesting from a wrestling booking what could have been perspective. Looking at from a feud stance, Smithers...
No, it was not Smithers.
Okay.
No, it was actually Barney. They were going to have Barney shoot him and literally go to jail. They were going to do like a trial and have him go to prison as a way to write him out of the show for a bit and then bring him back as like a bit of a rehabilitated character. That was the plan. But Matt Groening was the one who put the kibosh on this because he said, no, the show is called The Simpsons. It needs to be one of The Simpsons.
And the McMahon family, damn it.
Exactly. And but the way they argue this is like, well, essentially it wrote us into a corner because you can't have it be one of the parents because then they would have to go to prison. And you can't have it be one of you can't have it Bart or Lisa either because they would have had to morally make that choice, which then, like, what do you do with that character then? So the only option they had was to do it as Maggie, and it was more or less an accident. And that's why in the... do you remember the 238th episode Spectacular when they did the clip show? And it was like hosted by Troy McClure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have a joke in that where it's like, everyone was wondering who shot Mr. Burns. And it turned out it was the baby. And he just like... it was the cop. That was them making fun of the fact that they thought the ending of it was rubbish because it wasn't the ending they originally wanted to do.
Whoa. Who would have thought there's all these kind of wrestling backstage gossipy things for TV shows, movies, comics probably.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we should make a channel about that.
I cannot recommend Talking Simpsons enough as a podcast. If you like that era of Simpsons, because they're currently in season 7 at the moment. So if you like that era of Simpsons, they go... like, each episode is about an hour and a half, you know, for a 20-minute show, because they go in depth on, like, you know, lines of dialogue, the pop culture references that they make, and kind of explains sort of the time period that it was aired in. It's a really, really well researched and in depth show.
Which sounds a lot like something we do for our pledge hammers, Luke.
It does. You're right. It does. Once a month.
Which is out, hopefully, today. Oh, damn, I put a time frame on it again.
I'm almost certain I'll have had it done by today.
Wrestle Ramble Extra, folks. It is a Patreon-exclusive podcast. If you go over there and donate $5 a month or more, you will get access to Wrestle Ramble Extra, which this month is us reviewing WrestleMania X7, which we've had a whale of a time.
Haven't we just,
recording.
Yeah.
Mainly, again, reassessing the state of women's fake breasts from the late 90s/early noughties.
Yes, very much so, because it is a stacked old card, including the gimmick battle royal and the triple threat hardcore match, which are the two matches you really do want to look out
for. TLC 2, Rock Austin,
Hunter,
Ivory China,
Triple H Undertaker in the match that you were meant to forget happens. Oh, there's all sorts of stuff, and it's quite a limb-depth episode. But not only that, you do get access to all of our previous Wrestle Ramble extra episodes, including our four-hour review of WrestleMania 25, including Armageddon 2000, No Way Out 2004, Halloween Havoc 98, Wrestle Kingdom 10, featuring AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, which is going to happen at Backlash. Someone actually noted on the Wrestling Observer boards was just like, Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles is happening on pay-per-view in a few days' time, and I don't think I care. How did that happen?
Well, I think that's a Wrestling Observer board
isn't it
post.
Isn't it just?
It's not in Tokyo Dome, is it?
No.
Or Jeddah. But we will see you, if you are stingy and don't donate to us, we will see you in a couple of days for our Saturday episode.
No,
yeah.
Oh yeah, there'll still be. Oh, we've got so much still
to
record.
We do things now.
I just thought because we're recording this today, I was like, we don't have to record a Wrestle Ramble tomorrow. But yep, no, you're absolutely right. We do have a mailbag episode of Wrestle Ramble to record. So on a yes, actually, if you want to get involved with that, pledge away. That might not be in time.
It won't be in time.
It might not
be
in time.
You will get Wrestle Ramble extra.
Yeah, but anyway, pledge. Go on to Patreon. You can send in questions to the mailbag. That's the point I was going to make. But we'll see you on Saturday, and then we'll see you again on Monday for the, Backlash review. Until then, I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.